You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Intern.cast show, the only show where we, the hosts, much like the features that we review, have not yet graduated up to theatrical release. Yes, that's right. Those other critics, they're like Thomas Middleditch, the college humor standout who ended up on an HBO show. We're more like Ben Schwartz, the college humor standout who does this. I'm your host, Davey, and joining me, as always, are...
TJ.
And Leslie. I have no idea what you just said.
I don't get it.
Thomas. Okay, Ben Schwartz, the guy from Happy Anniversary, he did a lot of college humor videos when he was, like, starting to get famous. So did Thomas Middleditch. And Thomas Middleditch is now, like, a famous person on, like, one of the biggest shows on television, and Ben Schwartz makes these.
You know what I would have done?
What?
I would have been the college humor standout, Sarah Schneider, who got fucking naked. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I'm just drawing turtles.
And if anyone ever needs a perfect encapsulation of what this show is, that was it.
Me talking about naked chicks and Leslie drawing turtles?
Yeah, and I'm
making a reference that neither one of us understand.
Yeah, I'm making obscure references like 2008 internet comedy.
Yeah. I feel kind of bad because I feel like I started this show off on the wrong foot. I sound calm, but I'm really fucking angry, okay? So this is going to be a good fucking episode because I'm going to let loose, okay? I'm tired of this bullshit. I'm fucking tired.
Have you never let loose before? Because if this is you letting loose in a way that we've never seen, then I suggest everyone turn off the podcast right now.
I've let loose in a way that I had something to say. But I am at a loss for words of all the bullshit I've been surrounding myself lately with. Specifically, the three things I have to talk about during this episode. So, we are reviewing Netflix's original Happy Anniversary and Netflix's original...
The Titan.
Okay. And I watched the first episode of fucking Lost in Space, so I have something to say. But Davey, before we get there, what have you been watching?
Not a whole lot. It's been a light time for me, but I'm just gonna talk about two things that I've seen, two smaller movies that I've seen in the theaters recently. Maybe you've heard of them. The first is Sherlock Gnomes.
Yeah. How is it?
It is exactly what you would expect it to be.
I don't know. I like Romeo and Juliet.
See, I did too. And okay, I went.
So,
this...
I would, so based on that, I would expect
like
that it's
Romeo
good.
It's like Romeo and Juliet.
No, Romeo and Juliet is kind of clever. This one is just awful. And they didn't even have my favorite joke from the trailer, which is Sherlock Gnomes is trying to get a hold of a ship. And James McAvoy says, "No ship, Sherlock." And every single time I saw that joke in the theater, it cracked me up.
That's funny.
It is funny.
Aww.
But yeah, no, the movie's miserable.
Wait, so is it technically a sequel, or is it just like in the same Gnomiverse? That wasn't that funny. Come on.
It wasn't that funny?
I'm disappointed in myself, and you both laughed.
But I'm picturing, like, the business meeting with, like, the people with cigars, and they're like, the DCEU is failing. The Dark Universe failed. What do we got now, Todd? And it pans over to the intern in, like, an ill-fitting suit, and he's like, the Gnomiverse.
Like, I don't know, Mio.
Oh, I hate us. And I also saw... Tyler Perry's Acrimony.
Okay.
Which is 2 hours long.
Ooh, Jesus. And,
ooh, Tyler Perry should never make a movie that's a movie.
He needs to just stop making movies generally.
What's the last Tyler Perry movie you fucking saw?
I don't know. Exactly. There's a bunch on Netflix and it's stupid. It's like, dude, they're not funny.
Like,
stop.
Well, they're not made for you, so...
They're not made for you or Davey either.
Apparently hey, at least I'm a minority, cracker.
What?
Yeah, TJ actually... Well,
I was talking to Davey.
Yeah. I have the least credit. Never mind, I'm changing my review. Tyler Perry's Acrimony is a brilliant film because I do not want... Because
white guilt, you fucker.
Yep, I'm white guilting the hell out of this.
You're such an asshole. That's, you know what? How more offensive that is? than being honest.
It's almost like I'm doing a bit. But no, the movie's garbage. If you've seen any of the other Tyler Perry dramas, this is exactly the same thing as those. And just like, can we cool it, Hollywood, with like the woman scorn going crazy movies? Because you got one. You got Fatal Attraction, and that was in 1987. And that movie's awesome. We don't need any more.
The next one should star you.
Am I the woman who gets rejected and goes crazy?
Yeah.
I could pull that off. I think I could do a good Glenn Close. Ooh, what if I do the Basic Instinct scene where I like uncross my legs and it's just like peen.
I don't know. I've seen your beard. You're pretty hairy. I don't want to know
what's going on down there. Yeah, it's not even considered nudity. It's just a mound of hair. It can legally be shown on primetime television.
That's fucked up.
Y'all are weird.
So I'm a couple in. I'm not gonna lie. I had a bad day. And I got some more.
Well, that's
a couple beers.
In the spirit of the site we are on. All right. Before you rant about Lost in Space, Leslie, have you seen anything recently?
Yes, actually, I rewatched Little Shop of Horror.
The 86 one?
Yes.
Oh, I love that
movie. Little Shop of Horror. Oh, God, I love that movie. It's, like, by far my favorite.
You never showed me it.
Well, because you're a dick and you don't deserve it.
Jesus.
She's not wrong.
And it's just, every time I watch it, I just drool over it because it's just so good. Just everything about it, just the, even like the effects with like the plant and everything like that with Audrey too. It just, it's so perfect. I just love it.
Okay.
That's all I could say.
Okay, Leslie, theatrical ending or the original ending?
I don't know, whatever Amazon has.
Does it end well or poorly?
I don't remember.
Well, I mean...
Does it end well? I don't remember.
Ah, okay. I wore out the VHS tape of Little Shop of Horrors when I was, like, 10.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my favorite movies, and, it still is. So I was wondering if you prefer the released ending where he kills the plant, or the original ending, which is also the play's ending, where the plant takes over the entire fucking world, and it's awesome.
Oh, the one about? That he killed the plant.
Ah. That's fair. It's a good ending.
I didn't even know
what is this about? What is this?
You've never seen Little Shop of Horror?
No.
Okay, it's...
We went to the Austin shop or whatever, and that had Audrey 2 in the window, and you're like, oh, look, it's Audrey 2. How'd you know that?
What? You must be thinking of some other dude.
No, when we took Michelle to the Museum of Weird.
I know what you're talking about, but...
Weird.
You mean the wax museum part?
Yeah. No, it's in the window of that shop.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Anyway.
This is riveting podcasting, guys.
Fuck your mother. Sorry, I like Davey's mother. Never mind.
She's a wonderful
woman. I've just been saying that a lot lately. That's like my new phrase. It's like, instead of saying fuck you or fuck yourself, I just say fuck your mother.
Off, Davey mama?
That's not how that naming system works.
Off.
You're not named after your mother. That's coming out soon. I'm ready to see that.
And the mother is not named after the son. It wouldn't be off Davey. It's... Because that doesn't make any sense. You just gotta wait like 30 years.
No, off Davey,
unless he's
off
fucking
Davey,
his mother.
Off Davey is,
Yeah, see, the way you're saying
girlfriend.
Is, you're insisting that he's fucking his mother.
What?
He's not?
Talk about Lost in Space.
No, wait, Leslie's holding back. She's been watching something that at first I was ashamed of her, and then I was kind of like, eh.
No, we talked about this last time, didn't we?
No, we didn't.
We didn't talk. Davey, do you remember me talking about something that I have a guilty pleasure of right now?
Leslie, as far as I'm concerned, everything you've ever watched is a guilty pleasure, so you're going to have to be more specific.
I am watching Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
No, you have not talked about this. I'm so excited to hear about this.
I was re-listening to one of our episodes the other day just because it, I don't know, it brings me comfort because I find us funny and I don't give a shit if I'm the only listener. I was listening to one of our episodes today, and Leslie was like, how come I'm the only one that ever talks about anything old? I'm only ever talking about shit that's like 20 years old. And I laughed out loud, and then it dawned on me. Oh yeah, Leslie just told me she started watching Dr. Quinn.
Okay, I want to hear everything. Okay, we're scrapping the plans for this episode. We're just going to hear Leslie talk about Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
So it's the greatest show ever right now. And it all started with me wanting to, after Miss Maisel, I was like, I want to watch something old and tiny.
And women empowering.
And women empowering. So I was scrolling.
Which, of course, to find anything woman empowering, she had to go to fiction, because that shit doesn't exist in real life.
You know what? Shut up, you. Anyway, so I was scrolling the Amazon. I was like, hey, I like their outfits. I'm going to click on this.
Wow.
And I started watching it. And basically, it's about a woman moving from Boston to, like, the old pioneer town that I don't even remember the name of. But, and she's like, I'm a doctor. And no one, like, takes her seriously because she's a woman doctor. So it's basically all about her trying to, like, one, make friends, two, try to get the trust of people that she's a doctor, and then, like, one episode in, she becomes, like, a foster parent because the only friend that she ever made dies from a rattlesnake, and then
doctor. She couldn't save her friend from a rattlesnake. Jeez.
Yeah, it's really funny because there's a lot of episodes like that. She's like, I'm a doctor! And then, like, 2 seconds later, it's like, oh, they're dead. Or she, like, pokes their ear and they're like, you have cancer in your colon. It's like, how do you know this?
You have cancer in your cancer. What?
So it's really ridiculous, but it's so good because there's, like, a love interest of hers. Kind of. So, they haven't got there yet.
Wait,
but
so you want to watch the show because it's women empowering, but the first thing that drew you to it were A, the clothes.
Yes.
Okay. Bitch. And two, a love story. So really, it's not women empowering at all. It's just you being a typical girl.
It's not really a love story because they haven't even got there yet, and I'm already, like, pretty deep into the season already.
Also,
but, like, you could tell he's in every episode, and it's always, like, oh, let me go help you do this. Oh, let me help you do that. Oh, do you want to come over for dinner, Sully? Grrr, you know? So, yeah.
Also, I'm going to throw in my stereotypical I'm in college. Traditional aspects of femininity don't necessarily take away from empowering women. It's just about ensuring that that isn't a requirement for femininity.
Are you on your period right now?
Yes.
Oh, that's
okay.
So cute.
Okay.
And it's all natural. I'm stewing in it.
Girl,
if I learn anything from watching the first season of I Love Dick, it was that.
Just stop.
Jesus.
Okay. So, okay. So the reason I wouldn't let her forget this is because I have to admit something to you guys. I haven't been watching it with her, but I've caught bits and pieces of a couple episodes just walking in and out of the room. And one of the bits and pieces fucking made me cry.
You can feel things?
Right? That's what I said.
There was this one scene where this little girl was the only girl in school that wasn't invited to someone's birthday party. And she was crying because she didn't have any friends. And I got so fucking sad. Nothing makes me, like, honestly, like, I think I'm a pretty tough guy to crack, I guess. Fuck you. But I really get sad when people don't have friends.
Because that's us in real life.
I guess, but, like, I have such good friends. I really love my friends, and I would die for my friends. I wouldn't do that for most people in my family, but I'll die for any one of my friends. So when the little girl said, I wasn't invited to the birthday party, no one likes me, I wanted to be your friend. I have a heart. I swear to God, I have a heart.
This is character development right here. Holy shit.
I think Davey's crying now.
Oh, this is just how I always, I'm perpetually crying. In all the shows, if you listen really closely, you can hear the teardrops fall onto my desk. I've just gotten really good at covering it up.
So, okay, so I'll talk about what I want to talk about, and while I'm doing that, you think of the two things you want me to pitch.
Okay.
Okay, so take one thing from The Titan and one thing from Happy Anniversary. throw them my way, and I'll pitch you a movie that combines the two.
Okay, I will think of that while you talk about Lost in Space.
So fucking Lost in Space, dude. Okay, so I don't know if I want to review this, but I was thinking I'll watch one episode and then decide from there. And I can tell you right now, I don't fucking want to review it, because it's fucking awful. Okay, this family is a black hole of charisma. And no spoiler alert, but that's how they get, aka Lost in Space. It's nowhere near the original, like, series and how they go about it, right? Are you there?
I'm thinking about the pitch stuff for the game.
Yeah, but you can also respond to me, fucker.
I cannot multitask.
Neither can I.
Oh my god. Anyway, so...
Stop chewing ice, you're doing a podcast. You guys got mad at me last time
fine.
I was eating hot Cheetos.
I swallowed.
That's good.
Anyway, so... This family is such a... They're so not good at interacting. Like, first of all, it's all these nerdy-looking white kids, and then this wannabe knockoff, like... Who's that guy that plays Magneto?
Old or new?
Old. No, new.
Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, he's a knockoff Michael Fassbender, except he can't act for shit, and he's the dad. He's supposed to be the one that's, like, the captain of the crew, right? Even though he's not really a captain, because the way they set this new series up, it's they're all... They kind of, like, on an escape pod kind of thing. They're not really a crew. So it's this family in this escape pod. They get lost in space. They land on this ice planet.
Ice baby.
And they're fucking awful. And like I said, the dad is supposed to be he's the one you're supposed to be drawn to, right? He's like the leader, the alpha male. And he's just awful. Like, he doesn't have any interesting thing about him. He's just this insert gruff father here. And that's it. And the director gave him nothing to go on, okay? And then the little kid, who's supposed to be kind of like the Avatar, you know, the famous Danger Will Robinson, he's supposed to be the character, the audience's avatar for this world. And this kid is just awful to watch. He's stupid. And then, like, so get this. So it's the same plot as the original, in which they're going deep into outer space to colonize some random planet, except for that they're not the crew, they're the passengers of this much larger ship, and the whole other larger ship gets attacked, right?
Yeah.
So they get in an escape pod, and then that's how they get lost from the rest of the crew. So they're just passengers, okay? So they have to qualify to get on this ship for how, it doesn't say how they qualified, they just do, right? I assume because they took some kind of test or something. And they all pass except for the dumbass little fucking blonde kid, okay?
Okay.
And then the mom somehow, like, ooh, who's calling?
Don't worry about it.
Is it Claire?
Yes.
It's off Claire.
Yeah.
It's off baby.
That's not how the naming system works. Keep talking about Lost in Space.
Tell off baby.
Put her on speaker. I'm gonna yell at her.
I'm not gonna do that.
I'm gonna yell at her.
Don't you trust me?
No.
No. Keep talking.
I've let you into my home.
And I thank you for that.
Hi,
the least
baby.
You can do is let me into your car.
Carry on.
Sorry,
do your
sorry.
Thing.
I apologize.
We'll
anyway,
talk to off baby later.
So, I forgot what I was saying. So, the mother, in order to get the whole family to be approved to go on this colonization ship, fakes the kid's, like, test scores because he's too fucking stupid to do it by himself.
So he
fails, right?
Yeah.
And then she fakes the test score so he can go on. So right off the bat, I'm like, I'm not rooting for this kid. He's a dumbass, right? His family's fucking stupid. They have a black daughter, which I'm not saying that I'm saying they can't physically have a black daughter because they're all these nerd-looking white kids. So obviously they adopted the chick, but they don't ever say that. And I'm saying they need to say that. But they also don't ever acknowledge anything. They just... I don't know how to explain it. They just... What am I trying to say?
I'm not sure.
I'm trying to say that, like...
It's like he's trying to talk
it's
to
It's fair
us.
That they treat her like she's their actual daughter because she is. Because they adopted her and they all love each other the same. But it also warrants some sort of remark or joke or something. Because I'm just like, wait a minute. She's your daughter? Because it goes 30 minutes in before she finally goes, hey, Dad. So for the half the time, I think she's just some random bitch, right?
I mean, right. To be fair, you are one episode in.
And that one episode was fucking long.
How long is it?
It's an hour, but it felt like forever, okay? And then, so they get on this ice planet. One of them does something stupid and gets hurt. Another one does something stupid and gets hurt. So then the other three are, like, trying to save the other two. And then, so, you know, have you seen the original Lost in Space?
No, I was born in 1998.
Okay, well, oh my god. Anyway, so it's this family that's lost in space, and they have...
Wait, really?
They have... Shut the fuck up. So then they have an antagonist who's, like, the reason that...
They get lost in space.
They get lost in space, but for whatever reason, in the original show, they know he's the cause of it, but they don't ever, like, mutiny him and kick him off the ship, even though every 30-minute episode is him causing more shit to try and kill them, and then by the end of the episode, they solve that shit and forgive him. So, I'm not gonna get into who he is in this series right now, because it barely introduced him. But anyway, but they also have a robot that is sometimes helpful and sometimes not helpful. It's an AI robot that's the dumbass kid's best friend. So the way they go about finding the robot in this version is so fucking stupid, and so, it's so... what's it called when out of nowhere it solves the problem at the very end?
Deus Ex Machina.
Deus Ex Machina. That's what this robot is, okay? They're all about to die. They've all gotten themselves into a situation they can't back. And then finally, out of nowhere, this kid befriends this robot that came out of nowhere. It's not something that was from their original ship as opposed to the show. And this robot just goes around and saves everyone. So in the 55 minutes worth of the show, they're all doing dumbass shit and almost getting themselves killed. And then out of nowhere, he befriends the robot and comes in and saves them.
Well, I'm just glad.
And this robot can do fucking everything.
Well, I'm just glad that everyone found a friend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, don't make me cry.
He should have saved Selena.
What? What are you talking about?
It's Selena's birthday today.
Is it?
Yeah. Selena Quintanilla.
Well, too bad for her.
Well, the robot should have saved her.
Again.
Oh, my God.
Great podcasting, guys.
Hey, I hate you. Okay, I'm trying here. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to see if I want to... I don't know. I don't know if I should stick out or not, but...
You should, just so I can listen to you explain more things and then make fun of you.
It seems pretty bad so far. It was a struggle to get through that hour. But it was nowhere near a struggle as getting through some of the shit we're talking about today. And I'm going to... We should review the Titan first, because Leslie didn't see it. So I'd rather bring her back around for the closing.
Okay. Yeah.
Real quick first.
Oh, okay.
Here, TJ, I want you to pitch a movie to me. And in the movie, you got to have a bathtub full of tomato paste... and a glob of Sam Worthington's dead arm skin.
That's too easy. Really? That's what you're going with?
Yes.
Those are like two related right off the bat.
How are they related?
Skin. Don't touch my shit.
We'll find out why they're related later. I'm going to have to start throwing genres your way.
Okay. So we're going to review The Titan real quick, which... I think it's a Netflix original, but I know it's a Netflix original, but I'm trying to say is I don't know if it's actually produced by them or if they just bought the rights to it.
I'm assuming they bought the rights because as many horrible decisions as Netflix has made in the past, I would be hard-pressed to think anyone, even Ted Sarandos, is stupid enough to fund this movie.
This movie is atrocious.
It's
not Ocha.
Awful.
It's so...
No, I would rather watch Ocha... Shit.
I would rather watch
Ocha 10 times than half an hour of this fucking awful thing. What are you doing? Ugh. It looks like I'm outside. She's Snapchatting right now, and the way she filmed me makes me look like I'm sitting in, like, a porch or something.
Leslie,
anyway.
Stop Snapchatting. We're making content.
Seriously. So, anyway, so The Titan is directed by Leonard Ruff, and I already looked at his credentials, and he doesn't have shit to his name. Okay. It stars Sam Worthington. Yeah, you remember him now, thinking about it out loud. Yeah, he hasn't done shit in a long time. And you know what? The few things he does have under his name, I never really liked anyway.
Okay,
Avatar was vastly overrated.
Yes, here's the thing with Sam Worthington. I hate him, except for in one movie called Felony, and it's an Australian movie, and he uses his actual Australian accent, and he's really good. I think that's the problem. He can't do an American accent and act at the exact same time. Just give him his Australian accent. We learned with Liam Neeson, just give him the Irish accent.
You know what? I would agree with you, except for the fact that for half of this movie, he doesn't talk. So,
that's a fair point.
He still is unable to fucking act.
I mean, he's good with, like, dialogue-heavy stuff with his Australian accent.
Okay, so this movie is about this family who has volunteered. I don't know how they volunteer. I don't know if they qualified or if they volunteer themselves. But they're taking part. The world is ending, right? We've seen this movie a million times before. The world is ending, and now it's time to figure out how we're going to solve the world. Or save the world,
yeah.
Okay? So their plan is that, oh, there's one moon of Saturn that's possibly capable of surviving human species. So we're going to artificially mutate a couple of military people and prep them to go up there and so that they can prep for our arrival.
Yeah.
Do I have it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And it should be said that, real quick, the tagline for this movie on the poster is almost the identical tagline to Interstellar, because the tagline for this movie is "The end of Earth doesn't mean the end for us." And how many movies have you seen with basically that tagline?
Way too many.
Yeah.
Way too many.
So,
okay. But here's the thing. All of those are way better than this.
Yes.
And the biggest thing right off the bat that is just infuriating to me is in the beginning, one of the very first scenes, either scene two or three, okay, the director of this project is sitting down and telling them, you will change. This is not for the faint of heart. You are signing up for this, and it is not going to go the way that you think. This is uncharted territory.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the hour and a half movie is this fucking annoying ass wife complaining that you're not the man I married. Well, no shit, you dumb bitch.
All right, let's tone it down a little bit.
Let's spread out because premise. It is the byline of the movie that he is going to change. He has signed up for this. She has signed up for this. And the drama, the quote-unquote drama of this movie is that she can't accept that he's not the man she married. Oh, no. No shit. That's what the whole movie is about. Why are you surprised?
Okay, the whole... Let's spread the love a little bit, because the wife is played by Taylor Schilling, who is...
Who sucks ass.
Yes, she's terrible here, but she's been good.
I've never seen her in that other show that is really popular, so I can't guess whether she's good or not.
She's good. She's good on Orange is the New Black, awful. And she's really good in a movie called The Overnight. She's good. She's terrible here.
She's fucking awful.
She's awful. Sam Worthington is awful. Tom frickin' Wilkinson, who is a great actor, who plays the most obviously evil scientist in the history of obviously evil scientists, is also awful.
He's not even really that evil. To me, he's not that evil, because he tells everyone right up front what the plan is, and then they all turn on him like, how come you didn't tell us this was going to happen?
He gets super evil.
How come you didn't
evil.
Pick up on that?
He gets super evil at the very end. And yes... Sam Worthington and Taylor Schilling are idiots because they signed up for this thing and they were like, hey, this is going to be weird, and they didn't give them a lot of specifics, and they were like, yeah, sure, let's do this thing anyway because this will be fun. Which, that's stupid. Tom Wilkinson's a dick because he lied to people and then went full Bond.
He didn't really lie. He may have withheld some information, but he never straight up lied to them.
Well, he withheld information and then he went full on Bond villain in the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Which was stupid, because him being all villainy at the end didn't justify what he wanted from the end game.
No, not at all.
What he wanted at the end was completely different than his motivations throughout the rest of the thing.
Yeah, no one has any consistent motivations.
But then, who's also fucking stupid, is their annoying-ass kid. Okay, this kid is like... I dare you to rewatch it. I dare you to rewatch it and watch every single scene with the kid. This kid is a fucking leech of a character. He cannot be in a scene without going, Mommy! Oh! And cuddling up to his mom like he hasn't seen her. And like you know when you go home, like when you leave for the grocery store and you've been gone 5 minutes, but you come back and your dogs act like you haven't seen them for hours?
Hey, that's
for,
also like... you when I leave this house.
Yeah.
fuck both of you. My point is, like, this kid always, every scene is him running into the scene like he hasn't seen his mom or dad in years. And then every scene ends with him leaving the scene like he's not going to see them again for years. Bye, mommy, I love you. He's whiny.
Okay, to right? be fair, babies don't have object permanence, so...
He's not a baby. He's probably almost a teenager.
That's okay, don't laugh at my joke, that's fine.
I didn't get it, sorry.
The thing is, I wasn't really paying attention because as soon as I saw him, I went, is that the kid from A Quiet Place? And then I spent the next 5 minutes researching whether that was the kid from A Quiet Place, and it was.
Okay, well, I'm glad you figured out where that kid is from, but I'm telling you right now.
That's all the joy.
I dare you to rewatch it and not notice that this kid is just he's like a 10-year-old kid that's still being breastfed. Like, he's too attached to his parents.
He's the, like, infamous time cover with, like, the mom and, like, the, like, 6-year-old kid is, like, hanging off of the tit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm serious. Like, he's just too whiny for his age. And, like, he's every other scene is him not being able to sleep and needing a nightlight and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You're fucking 10, dude. Grow the fuck up.
Yeah.
And again, they all need to grow the fuck up. They knew what they were getting themselves into. And the drama is not interesting. It's a good hour and 10 minutes for anything happens in this fucking movie. And I don't just mean anything as in, like, anything interesting. I mean the plot itself. Like, where he actually starts to change and be... quote-unquote weird, when really, he's not really that weird. He's just, if anything, he's more reserved than his original character was.
But I will say this.
It is an hour and 10 minutes before any of that happens.
But let it be said, once things do happen, this movie turns into the funniest movie I have seen in a long time. Because...
it's weird. I don't know if it's funny. It almost turns into Species for a minute, where you think it's going to be like this weird... alien sex thriller.
It plays with a lot of interesting ideas, and then it just kind of flounders. But, okay, so they basically turn Sam Worthington, through these experiments, into an alien thing.
Right, he's not human anymore.
And every single shot of him, with the dead stare and the prosthetic makeup, I couldn't help but laugh. I had a blast with the last 30 minutes of this movie, because of how... incredibly stupid every single second of it was.
But you know what's funny is you described it as a dead stare, but you know that he was acting his ass off.
And that
he thought he was being serious.
And that's why it's hilarious. The final moment of this movie is is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
And it doesn't even make sense. So here's the thing. I'm not going to spoil it, but towards the end, So it turns from him being weird, and then it turns to like a survival thing where the wife is trying to save him because he's basically outgrown their experiment and he's no longer what they expected, so they need to take him down, right? So, but here's the thing. In that thing, he murders a shit ton of fucking people.
Oh yeah, no, there are a lot of dead people.
And then if the movie plays the rest of it out as if we're expected to be rooting for him.
Yeah.
Like, no, he fucking murdered people. And you're like, oh no, wife, please save him. He deserves to be saved. No, he's not your husband anymore.
You know.
He's something else. And he does not deserve forgiveness because you say he does.
Yeah, every single character in this movie is so thoroughly unlikable in many ways.
No, there's one character I like, but they quickly get rid of... I'm sorry, there's two characters I like, but they quickly get rid of them. One is one of the experimentees who in the beginning questions the whole thing, but goes through with it anyway.
I was so annoyed with it. Like, don't get me wrong, I was glad that he was, like, saying it. I was like, yeah, you're right, this is stupid, but, like, will you please shut up? Because the movie plays him as the annoying character.
Yeah.
Which is just... I felt apathy. I didn't even hate this movie. I was apathetic to it in such an intense way. Like, all the characters are so dull and lifeless, and everything that happens is so stupid and then unintentionally funny, and all the acting... I mean, it felt like this movie was shot over 4 days.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other character I kind of like is the female experimentee.
She was okay, I guess. I wouldn't...
But they quickly get rid of both of those characters.
Yeah. Because this movie just doesn't know how to movie in any way.
It. I mean, we've said this a lot about a lot of Netflix shit, but it's fucking boring.
Yeah. And it feels like the true first time, because there's been a lot of conversation recently about how direct-to-Netflix is becoming the new direct-to-DVD, and I have fought against that because there is some really great stuff on Netflix, and it can be a platform to get weirder, more interesting stories out there, even movies that I particularly hate, stuff like Mute, or stuff that many people hate, like The Cloverfield Paradox.
Or things that really, really suck, like The Discovery.
Eat shit. But this is the first time I've watched a Netflix movie and gone, this movie feels like it belongs on a Redbox, where you go, oh, like it's meant to trick moms, you know, where people go in and go, oh yeah, that's the Avatar.
I think my son will like this.
Yeah. He told me to get some alien movie and he said it was called Arrival, but fuck it. This one's here. Imagine how disappointed you would be if you were expecting a masterpiece like Arrival and you end up with the Titan. But, like, that's really what it feels like. It feels like a movie that was made in some weird tax scheme. I hate this movie.
I don't know. It's pretty bad. And you know what's funny is that it's never really clear. They're clear from the get-go what's going to happen. They totally lay out the rest of the plot, but they never say what their plan is. So, like, how exactly are they saving the human race?
I don't
know. I mean, I can tell you that they're sending these guys up there to prep for humans' arrival, but they never say that.
Yeah, is their plan to just turn every human into a different species and just hope it works out?
Right, so when they have this one guy, Sam Worthington, and he's finally successful in their experimentations, then what?
Yeah.
They say, oh, we need to capture him and send him up there so he can finish the mission. But what's he going to do when he's up there by him fucking self?
It just turns into a long Minecraft Let's Play, but instead of, like, Earth thinks it's just him on Titan just, like, mining rocks and trying to build little houses. If anything, this movie is a wonderful reminder to recycle, because if our world dies and this is what we're left with, that's a good incentive to recycle.
And it's also supposed to be like this romantic thriller because she loves him so much and he's changing and they're a happy family. But the two of them together have no chemistry.
Oh no, I don't think they were ever in the same room.
There's, like, this romantic scene where, like, it's supposed to be hot and steamy, and they're gonna have great steamy last sex ever because he's leaving for his mission scene.
Yeah.
And it's not hot. It's not even that it's not hot, it's just, it's awkward. You're watching it thinking, like, I wish I could be titillated by this because it's a steamy sex scene. But at the same time, like, these people have zero chemistry. I don't even want them to get together. And then you're reminded, oh, wait, they're married, they're in love, they have a kid.
Yeah. It's just, everything about this movie is just so disappointing. And it's not that I had any expectations for it. I didn't. It's just still so null and void, you know?
Yeah. And like I said, it's just, it seems like it should be part of a bigger movie. Like, this whole movie could have been condensed into half an hour, and the rest of the hour is them going through with the original plan.
Yeah, like, actually trying, like, to explore
Titan. They go to Titan. Space.
Actually trying to explore Titan, that's a much more interesting movie than whatever the hell this was. Did they just have enough budget for the one terrible-looking matte painting background of the one shot on Titan? Jesus.
So, this movie is absolutely awful. I give it 1 out of 10 seconds, I was holding my breath underwater.
I give it 1.5 out of 10 times that I have more ammunition for my argument that the Avatar movies are not and will not be good.
I give it a 10 out of 10 because I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
But lest I remind you, she gave Okja a 3.
No, I remember. I remember it all. On my wall, there's just a small board of the times that we've disagreed, and I'm just planning for the... It's like that Charlie Day meme where I'm, like, smoking a cigarette and pointing at the lines on the wall, being like, it's all connected. Trying to prove a conspiracy.
Speaking of romantic comedies...
A-plus segue.
Happy anniversary!
A-plus segue, my friend. You did it.
That bum.
Yeah. So, we have Happy Anniversary starring, like, wannabe Adam Scott, like, off-brand Adam Scott, and off-brand...
Zooey Deschanel.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. All right, motherfucker.
What do you mean? We had this discussion.
We already had
this
discussion? Oh, I don't remember this. I'm drinking.
Okay.
Why'd you have to ruin it?
Surprise!
Anyway.
Happy Anniversary
stars.
Does she
not look like a wannabe Zooey Deschanel?
Noelle Wells... I mean, a little bit, but I'm okay with it.
I'm not.
So, what's this about, Davey?
Okay, this is about the characters. The actors' actual names are Noelle Wells and Ben Schwartz. And Noelle Wells, Ben Schwartz, they're a couple. It's their third anniversary, but they're not married. They're just it's the anniversary, like when they got together, which is annoying. But he wakes up and is, like, preparing breakfast, and she's like, hey, I don't think I'm happy. And he's like, well, shit. And she's like, yeah, I need to go figure stuff out. And so it's the two of them going throughout their day, sometimes intersecting, sometimes not, and trying to figure out their past and their present, and it does a lot of flashbacks. And it's just kind of about these two people figuring out if they need to stop it, their relationship here, or keep going to try and work through the problems in their relationship.
Well, it's all her fault.
Oh, I am so glad you say that, because I completely agree with you. She is a grade A fucking bitch.
I wouldn't go that far.
She's not a bitch.
She's a grade C.
He does everything for her. He does everything for her. He even ruins his future, or sorry, potentially ruins his future and his career for her because she's an uptight, can't make up her mind bitch.
Okay, he doesn't ruin his career for her.
He doesn't know that at the time.
No, but
he was potentially fucking up his career and he did it anyway.
Okay, she told him, she was like, don't come, sorry about this. And he, in his own neuroses, was
no, I have to go.
No.
You're only 19, my friend. When bitches say, don't worry, I'm sorry, don't come, they fucking mean, if you don't come, I'm cutting your ass's balls off.
Fair enough.
She fucking expected him to show up and he showed up.
But that's reading into it with your own life experience, not with reading into it what the movie is saying. What the movie is saying is that it's, like, I'd say 95% her fault and 5% just Ben Schwartz being a complete neurotic human being who is unable to commit.
But she gets the majority of it.
Yeah, she does get the majority of it. But it's not just one of them. It's like, there is no villain in this movie.
You're the villain in my heart right now, motherfucker. She is awful.
I'm just gonna go out and say it. I like this movie.
Davey the baby.
I am in an emotionally vulnerable spot, and seeing people be happy made me cry.
But they weren't happy.
It's a romantic comedy. What do you think is going
to happen? Not really. It wants to be smart.
One was
like,
happy, one pretended she was.
Yeah, exactly. It wants to be that other movie that Zooey Deschanel was in, that smarter romantic comedy.
500 Days of Summer?
500 Days of Summer.
It wants to be that because it wants to be like, this is real life, how relationships really work. Except it's almost too real in the way that these people do not belong together. This is an awful couple. They're not, like, they don't look good together, they don't have anything in common, they don't treat each other well, except for the fact that he's at her beck and call. But aside from that, he doesn't show any interest in, like, her life or her interests or her concerns either. Don't get me wrong, her concerns are completely unjustified, but he also doesn't give them the time of day that they deserve.
I thought they were cute together, and seeing them...
What was cute about them? Sell it to me. I want to be on your side, dude. Tell me. Sell it to me. What was cute about them?
Just a little.
Give me a scene. One scene.
The scene when he goes when he goes back to the house and she's like, the dog got sprayed by a skunk, and he's like, fine. And then they bathe the dog in tomato paste, and they throw tomato paste on each other, and then they sleep together, and it's just, and they're lying together.
And then they start a fight
exactly.
again.
Exactly. Thank you, Leslie. That would be cute and justified to your emotions, except for the fact that 10 seconds later, they completely null and void that scene because she's a psychotic bitch.
Yes, because she, like, decides to destroy every happy moment.
But that happy
does
moment
she
was
not
still
ruin
there.
That? Does she not ruin that moment?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes, she does.
Okay.
Doesn't
and
mean
then
the moment
your
didn't
justification
happen.
Is
doesn't mean the
is
moment
irrelevant.
Didn't happen. That's the whole point of the movie, is that the bad and the good are together, and you can't ever fully have an answer or a sureness, and that's okay.
But she could have waited for, like, a little bit after, like an hour or two after that moment, not 2 seconds after, oh, hey, we just did it.
Let's start a fight about nothing.
Yeah, I mean, her timing is horrendous, don't get me wrong, but I don't know.
Here's the thing. We've seen so many sitcoms, and it's 2018, where, like, the will-they-won't-they shtick is tried and true, okay?
Yes, and I fall for it every single time.
But here's the thing. It's worked in the past when you have, like, TV shows that span years and seasons and episodes. When this movie is 1 hour and 18 minutes, it's not even the typical 90-minute feature. They get together and break up too many fucking times for 1 hour and 18 minutes. It's exhausting.
It's like Love.
What?
The show Love.
Yeah, kind of.
Like the first episode.
Yeah, but
Love.
They're both... The difference between Love and this is that Love sells itself as they're awful people.
I
get what you're saying.
Exhausting after one episode. That's what I mean.
Yeah, you're right. But this one sells itself as, oh, well, I hope they can work this out. No, fuck them. He needs to learn to grow some fucking balls and stand up for himself. And she needs to just let go. Like, she's so up her own everybody's ass. Like, everything has to be exactly right. And even when she gets what she wants, it's not good enough.
But character growth.
Davey. Oh my god. Really?
Okay, I'm not even going to defend that argument. I'm not.
That was a bullshit argument.
I'm not saying this movie's great. I'm not saying it reinvents the romantic comedy wheel, because it doesn't. It is short. It is slight. It's kind of funny. It's kind of sweet.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah, there were funny moments that I actually laughed at. Yeah. But just as a whole, I felt like they had just way too many differences to even consider the characters, like, chemistry. Like, it didn't blend well. There was just story after story after story. This is happening, that's happening, and that's happening. And then you forget about what the whole entire movie's about. And then it goes back to, like, the beginning, and it's like, oh, well, I guess they did try to tie it in, but it just, I don't know.
Going off what she's saying, it's like, the way she's saying is, like, it doesn't even show why they would ever be together. It shows you a flashback and their meet cute. But even their meet cute is, like, it's so contrived that I still wouldn't imagine them getting together at the end of the night. I feel like if I had met someone that way, I'd still be like, huh, that's a funny story. You know what? This chick is going to be my friend that I ask for advice for. Not, I'm going to get into a relationship with her. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm trying to think of a good argument, and I can't.
It's all about the jam.
I thought this movie was sweet. I wanted to see people. Mm. I wanted to watch a romantic comedy, and I did, because love is nice.
Love is nice, but this was not love. This was toxicity. They do not belong together. He needs to learn to let go, because he obviously seems like a nice, decent guy who could just... If he just learned to let go, he could get all his shit together. Okay? And she seems like someone that honestly needs to spend a couple years alone to learn how to just adapt to life.
And I would agree with both of those things. But I doesn't mean I don't like the idea of them together or dealing with that stuff by each other's sides.
Because the only thing I liked about this, the only thing, is the friend.
The British friend?
the British friend, the British Indian friend who's in,
he's from iZombie. He is my favorite.
But here's the thing, he's the best part about this movie, but so out of place.
Oh yeah, he totally.
He has not, if he was missing from this movie, you wouldn't even notice, but you only notice it because he's the only thing that's sort of funny, sort of charming, sort of interesting, because
his partners... I really like Ben Schwartz, like... He's not great in this, but, like, Ben Schwartz is a charismatic actor. He's a funny guy.
He is, but, like, my attention went directly to the friend. Like...
Yeah, I was rooting for the friend that the friend would also learn his lesson and kick Ben Schwartz to the curb because he has a shit-ass partner. They're trying to start this business together, and the dude can't do anything seriously. They already run their business out of their garage, which is already hard enough, and then you have this partner who drops everything on a dime because his bitch girlfriend. If she loved him the way that this movie is telling you that they end up, that in the end she learns how much she truly loves him, if she really loved him as much as she learns that she does,
it wouldn't have been a question in the beginning.
Yeah, and not only that, but she wouldn't make him leave his fucking career for her.
Maybe he just loved her so much only, that he would.
That's not mutual respect, man. I get what you're saying, and in a fake cutesy everyone loves and lives happily ever after world, that would be true.
Yes, and but that's the world this movie. It's not that's real the world love. This movie lives in. Is that?
But it doesn't. You know what? You're right. That is the movie. That is the world this movie lives in. But it thinks it's smarter than that, and it wishes it was.
500 Days of Summer?
500 Days of Summer. It wishes it was that. Yes. But it's not even fucking close. It doesn't touch the surface of that movie.
Not even a little bit. And that's the biggest problem with the movie, is that it thinks it's more mature and more honest than it is. But I see this movie the exact same way I see a movie like, and this is a movie that I unironically love, The Proposal.
Okay.
And it is bubblegum sweet. It is cutesy nonsense. It is in a world where people do not act like people. They act like vessels for romantic passion. And honestly, sometimes you just need that. And that's why I like this movie.
But the difference is they had chemistry in that movie.
And I thought they had chemistry in this movie. The actors did. Maybe not the characters all the time, but I think the actors did a good enough job convincing me that they had some spark between them.
Do we ever get along? Did we ever agree? I think the only thing we've ever agreed on is fucking, that's not even true. I was going to say 13 Reasons Why, but we actually disagree. We actually agree a lot, especially, like, just that last movie.
We agree on The Titan.
And
So yeah, just love each other, man.
Who's this dude, the director, Jared Stern? We're going to wrap this up.
I don't know. But yeah, just...
He's the writer of Green Eggs and Ham.
What? Are they making a Green Eggs and Ham movie now?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
God.
He wrote the Lego Ninjago movie.
Oh, that's the bad one. Oh, God.
He's the series creator of Dr. Ken.
Oh, no. That's such a terrible thing to be.
He's also... Oh, yeah. This is directorial debut.
Okay.
Oh, man. Dr. Ken, happy anniversary.
As long as he stays off television, then that's fine. Because no matter how much you dislike this, it's not worse than Dr. Ken.
I haven't watched Dr. Ken, but I've heard horrible things. And I feel bad for... Actually, you know what? I don't feel bad. Because he's a character actor that needs to learn to drop his shtick.
Yeah.
He's very funny as Senior Chang, but he needs to go outside of that. Yeah. Final thoughts, Davey?
You gotta know what you're getting into. It's gonna try and pretend like it's a more intelligent, more deep movie than it is, but it's not. It is a movie to eat a tub of ice cream with and drink a bottle of rosé to. And that's okay.
You're not even old enough to drink.
I'll agree with that, actually.
But, like, you know that kind of movie. It's that kind of movie.
It is that kind of movie, and, to be honest.
And is it a great one of those? It's a movie
to watch while you're on your period and you're waiting for the Midol to kick in.
Exactly. And that's not a bad thing. That was a
really sexist statement. Sorry.
You had it here first. The first time that TJ's ever apologized for saying something sexist on the intern.cast show.
Right? Seriously.
I think
we need to, like,
I think,
make him drink more often.
I think every woman who has ever been in any piece of media that we have reviewed is a bitch. According to TJ.
Let me think about that. You guys keep talking.
But no, this movie's, it's sweet, and it'll make you smile a little bit. I give Happy Anniversary 6.5 out of 10 times that I wish that other movies were as short as this movie, because when a movie is as slight as this, less than 80 minutes is the way to go. Leslie?
I don't know. I liked the cute, funny things. I really did. I didn't like the so many segments and so many stories thrown into one thing. I just didn't like that. Something to do with his job, something to do with her parents, something to do with this, something to do with that. Like, it was too much in the short time frame. And I just felt like it was just jumping all over the place. And then the flashbacks. You couldn't tell if it was a flashback or not. Like, that pissed me off. Like, I mean, obviously I'm not stupid. I know it's a flashback. But just the fact that, like, it wasn't clear bothered me. So, I hated the fact that she was a wannabe Zooey Deschanel. That really bothered me. And...
you know why that bothered you? Because even Zooey Deschanel is getting tired. Even she is starting to run her course.
Yeah, she...
so having someone come in this late in the game and try to be like her.
Especially in a movie similar to one of the movies that put Zooey on top.
Right.
So I give this a... I give this a... 3 out of 10. Just eat your goddamn fucking jam. Yeah.
3 out of 10. 3 out of 10. Okay.
DJ?
That is not true. I just went through our entire catalog of episodes, and I did not think that the girl from Sandy Wexler was a bitch, the singer. I did not think she was a bitch. I found her quite charming. Shut the fuck up. What's your fucking problem? You know what? You're the bitch,
Dave. You had to go back a year. You had to go
hold
back
on.
A year.
No, not a year. And The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh,
Offred was I root for Offred.
I mean, that's good, because if you didn't, that'd be terrifying.
Also, Glow. The only person I didn't like in Glow was Alison Brie, ironically.
I mean, I was being facetious. You didn't have to stop time and listen to the hours of podcast recording, but I'm glad that you did that.
I do that anyway. No, I just went through our catalog. And then I almost said the incredible Jessica James, but I do remember thinking that I thought she was kind of a bitch.
She's a bitch.
You didn't even see it.
What?
The incredible Jessica, you didn't even see it.
Jessica Jones?
Jessica James.
Oh, who's Jessica James?
You weren't there for that episode.
It was a good movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie, but I don't know. You don't watch House
you
of Shame.
You assholes, just leave me out of my
podcast. I'm sorry that we have typical schedules, and you're the one that's like, hold on, I work at midnight. Can you guys hold? No, we can't hold.
Sorry, so, that's how I make the dollar bills, y'all.
Dollar bills, y'all. So happy anniversary. It's just, you know what? I'm going to go on a rant, and it's not a rant about anniversary. It's a rant about Netflix. Fucking try harder, dude. Yeah. There's so much good shit. You have so much good shit in your backlog, and you constantly put out shit like this.
Yeah.
Let's be real, it's not Sandy Wexler.
I liked Sandy Wexler better than this.
Really?
Only because at least it was funny and it was different. This was nonstop, them breaking up, getting back together, them breaking up, getting back together, this is them breaking up together, in a day. The whole movie takes place in a day. And they're fucking annoying. I just don't see any part of them that should be together in real life, and I don't see any part of them that would fall for each other in the fictional life. And Netflix needs to try harder. This is just, it's shit.
I mean,
there's nothing,
as long as
no...
As long as Netflix doesn't try harder, and they keep releasing, like, garbage with every now and again a diamond in the rough, we'll still have a podcast to do, so I would kind of like them to keep not trying, so that way we can still do this.
Wow. But why can't we keep reviewing, why can't we review shit like, you know, Black Mirror Season 4 or whatever? Because that's the kind of shit that they work that is accidentally genius. This is purposely awful.
It's not awful. It's nice. Oh,
so I give this, it's not as bad as that other Titan piece of shit, but this is not, this is.
So what is it?
I'm going to give it a 5. I know I got a little worked up, and I always say if
you
I give it a...
You always get worked up.
If I give it a 5, that means that it's forgetful. But, like, so it is forgetful. But the only reason I worked up is because I've had a bad day. So I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10. Stains on a shirt.
All right. So now you got to pitch me a movie, TJ.
So there's this geek guy, right? And he's head over heels for the hottest girl in school, cheerleader. She's like the babysitter. Remember that girl from the babysitter? She's hotter than that. All right.
Whoa.
And she's like, you know what? I've always had a thing for you. I just never said anything. I want you to meet me in the locker room.
Okay.
Right? And he's like, oh my God, I wonder what kind of porky shit is going on here. So he and his nerd self walks into the girls' locker room only to be drenched in tomato paste a la Carrie style.
Okay.
And everyone's laughing at him. But what no one in the school knows is that he's allergic to tomatoes. So if there's a scene where he's running through the school like Jason is in Friday the 13th when he's like, rah! And he's getting all deformed and shit, and acid is coming off his fucking skin, right?
Okay.
What kind of allergic reaction is that? Jesus
You're
Christ.
Allergic to everything. You have no room to talk. This is my movie, okay? Damn. This is my movie. And he's trying to run to the teachers because so that they can help. But just like Friday the 13th, they're too busy being counselor teenagers having sex and ignoring him. And he's being tormented and chased through the halls until finally he runs into just a storage closet and the door shuts behind him. And you just hear a crash of lightning. And the door opens and the mist clears and you see him typical. He looks totally normal. No tomato juice on his face. And then all of a sudden, a big glob of skin just peels off of his body, and he looks like a cross between Oogie Boogie when he doesn't have the stitches on him, and Davy Peppers. He's just unnecessarily hairy and squiggly.
What the fuck, man?
Squiggly.
And he takes revenge on all the hot cheerleaders in the school. And this movie will have 7, and I mean it, 7 sex scenes. And all of them lesbian sex scenes.
Okay, what's the title for this movie?
The title of this...
Squiggly Man.
What?
You said that like, this is like squiggly, and I don't...
the title of this movie will be... The 19-year-old virgin.
Oh, so, Davey.
Well, that's all the time we have for today, everybody. Thank you for checking out the intern.cast. This will be my last episode.
Thank you for listening.
I've been Davey, and these jackasses are...
My name is TJ. You can follow me on Facebook, Mr.Hooker711.
I'm Leslie. You cannot follow me on Instagram. Look so pretty. LOOKSOPRETTY.
That was so funny.
And join in next week when we will be reviewing The 19-Year-Old Virgin.
I already know. 10 out of 10, motherfucker. Thanks for putting up with us, Davey.
Always. I made a say.
Where can people find you?
I made a funny.
People don't know where you are?
Oh. Twitter, @ Davey Peppers.
Okay.
It's very right. Self-explanatory.
Twitter, @ Squiggly Man. Yeah. You call him Squiggly, and I don't understand, but it's so funny.
I meant Scraggly.
Oh, you said Squiggly.
I'm drunk. Okay, all right, bye.
Bye.